Go ahead and open up to Hebrews 3. I can't get away from this, it seems like. When you're captivated by something, it's just, unless he specifically gives me some other instructions. We'll go ahead and pick this up in the, well, let's just start in verse 7. See, it says, it's just amazing to me how this is worded. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. Let's stop right there. It's amazing to me how that's written. So when are we going to hear his voice? When? This was written almost, what, 2,000 years ago? But it's still just as accurate, just as much for today. Today. If you, how many of you want to hear his voice today? See, that's really what it's all about. And let's, we'll just launch in right there. I haven't even got to the verse yet, but that's okay. When he's ready to preach, I'll let him. See, it's really what it's all about today, if you'll hear his voice. Because what we're after is not a man-made revival. We're not after something that man can do. I mean, just to be honest, I've had a belly full of that. I'm so tired of revival begins Wednesday night at 7. Ends Friday night or Sunday night at 10, you know. And when they get to the anointing part, you know, it's all, oh, if it be thy will, you know. God bless them. But that is not the way I see the ministry of Jesus operating in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know. Well, this whole passage that we're going to look at here, see, God had a promise to the first covenant people, let's say Israel. He had a promised land for them. Our promised land, for the purpose of teaching here right now, our promised land is Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. Now that's our promised land. That's why he sent Dave to Tulsa all those years ago. Dave tried to go anywhere but Tulsa. You've heard him tell about it. Let me go to Atlanta. Let me go to Kansas City. Let me go to Orlando. Let me go somewhere. No, I want you to go to Tulsa. A revival of doctrine in Tulsa? No wonder Dave would want to run, you know. Anybody would. Are you kidding? You know, the ministries that come out of here. But see, today, if you'll hear his voice, if you want to do what God called you to do, there's going to be opportunities to harden your heart. Because it's going to look impossible. Every time God's ever really spoken to me, the first thing I had to get over is this is not possible. You know? Because with God, Let's see. There's how many things? What? Oh yeah, all things are possible. Not to everybody though. No, it's really not. To him that believes. And that's what this is talking about. See, later on down here, you'll find out why could not they possess the land? The first group, plain as day, can't change it in 10,000 years. They could not enter into his rest. Why? Because of their unbelief. All right. So let's look at this just for a minute. That's pretty good on verse 7. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Now, verse 10. Wherefore, this was the verse, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. I don't know if you write in your Bible. You could almost put out in the margin. Don't write it yet. Listen to it first. See if you want to. I would almost put right there God's definition of unbelief. That's it right there. They don't know my ways. And that causes them to always make the wrong decision. That causes them to always err. Err means make a mistake. It causes them to always make a mistake because they don't know his ways. All right? So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. So take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of Okay, yes, sir. All right, let's read it like this is for us today. What is today? Today is today. That's like God's word is alive, isn't it? It's fresh. Never comes to an end. It's not stale. It's like today. You can have Tulsa. It's my assignment to you today. You hear him? Can you hear him? I hear him. Today. All right? Yeah, but you look around. Yeah, but look at this little motley crew here. You know? Yeah, it's like David's mighty men. All those, we talked about that one night. You know, everyone that was distressed, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was disgruntled and, you know, and about half beaten up. Yep, looks about right to me. What God started David off with, the most mighty warrior Israel ever saw. You know? Started him off with a disgruntled group too, you know. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. I notice the mayor's not here, governor's not here, not yet any captains of industry yet. Someone's going to be dumb enough to believe him. Amen. And it's going to cause millions and billions to come into the kingdom. And those that are out there now be going, who? And he'll be going, God. Amen. You know? Hallelujah. Anyway, today if you'll hear his voice, what voice? Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. Do you hear him? I hear it. That's our mandate. He says, well, don't make the same mistake they did. They did not know how I do things. Is that okay? They don't know my ways. They don't know how I do it. So they're always going by their own decisions based on what they see, based on what they feel, based on what they hear. And so since they don't know my ways, they're always evaluating according to man's ways. And if they continue to do that, they're never going to have the promise that I've already given to them. I've already given it to them. It's theirs. And again, we're like, sometimes I feel like we're in the bleachers, you know, on this side of the promised land. There's the Jordan. We're sitting in the bleachers. We got some popcorn and some Pepsi as we came in. We're sitting there and looking across the river. There's the promised land. We're in the wilderness, you know. There's the land of milk and honey with the fruit trees and the olive trees and the green grass, you know. And God says, I've given you that land with us. It'd be the land where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and where the traffic is lined up farther than the eye can see, where Victoria has her mind back, you know, and Tommy Perez is here standing on his own 2 feet giving his testimony, and on and on and on and on. We're almost like them sitting in the bleachers. Okay, God, munch, munch on our popcorn. Want a sip of Pepsi? Okay. We're waiting. Go ahead, God, go get them. We're sitting right here. We're waiting, Lord. And, boy, when you've given us the land, we're sure ready to move in. Kill all them devils. Run them out. And God says, that is not my way. I gave man dominion. I gave Adam dominion. What did I say? What is my way? Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. Now, the type and shadow for us, his ways for us, God's sovereign. God can do anything. I don't know why he chose to do it this way. All I know is he did. This is the way he chose to do it. He wants to have dominion through man on the earth. He tried it with the first man, Adam. Didn't work so well. Adam fell. Even though God had given him authority, he pretty well lost it to the enemy. That's why that first Adam and all of his, some of this is review, the first Adam and all of the species of Adam really died positionally in heaven when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. I mean, even John didn't know why Jesus came to be baptized. He said, Master, I need to be baptized by you. Because everybody else, John's message was a message of repentance. And so as an outward sign of an inward act, when they would repent, they'd come by John to be baptized by John in the river, symbolic of, okay, your past sins are washed away. Well, here comes the spotless Lamb of God. For sure, his sins don't need to be washed away. Why in the world is he coming? John's going, Lord, you don't need my baptism. I need your baptism. But Jesus kind of insisted. He said, John, just it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Just do this for me. Now, what happens? Now, what's going on there is a visual vow in front of the Father. Basically, Jesus is saying, Father, when John lays me down under the water, it's like going down into the grave. I know why I was born. Father, I know why I'm here. I was born to die. My vow to you, as John lays me down in the water, I'm going to go all the way to the cross. I'm going to do it. But my vow to you also, my trust is, like was prophesied, you will not leave my soul in hell. My flesh will not see corruption. And I'm trusting that when John raises me up, that's a demonstration of my faith. I'm trusting you to quicken me from the dead. Every time I preach that, I get happy. You talk about faith. You talk about faith. Something that was done, that whole exchange was done through Abraham. I don't know how many hundreds of years ago, when God told him to offer Isaac on the rock right there. And Abraham had the faith. He says, well, I'm going to do it because God said do it, but God can't lie. He said, through Isaac would my seed come. And he hadn't had no kids yet. I'll do it, God, but my faith is, I'll do it, but I'm trusting you to raise him from the dead. And he'd already received him, it says, in a figure. That's hope, people. That's the image. He already saw it on the inside. That's why he was willing to do it. That faith, God took that very faith of that man and said, that's what I'm needing. If you have that kind of faith and I can use that right over here hundreds and hundreds of years later, I'm going to use that same faith to raise my son from the dead. Because I gave man dominion. Good stuff. Good stuff. See, his ways. He had to have that act of faith through a man. By man came the fall. By man comes the redemption. You got that? That's why you hear God say, thundering out of heaven at the baptism of John, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, he's really, that's a coronation going on. He says, when Jesus did that baptism, there was like a gavel came down in heaven, like in a courtroom. I accept this vow as a done deal. Smack. It is, as far as the courts of heaven are concerned, Adam and all his species is now dead. Adam being, the first Adam being dead, I am now free to reassign that authority. Who would be a good candidate? Let me see. Oh, my son. The second Adam. The second man, the last Adam. All that authority that I originally gave to the first man, Adam, all of that now is transferred to the last man, Adam, and even more because Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. Glory to God. Then he says, therefore, you go. Yeah. Now, we want to sit in the bleachers and watch you do it. That's not my way. That is not my way. My way is for you to see and for you to say and for my Holy Ghost to manifest dominion like I first... Don't we see that with Jesus everywhere he goes? He'd walk up to someone deaf or blind or... He would just speak, and then they would hear, or the devils would come out, or they would see, or the lame would walk. The maimed would be made whole. That's a creative miracle there. And the Holy Ghost is doing that, manifesting the dominion that now has been transferred to the last man, Adam. Hallelujah. Well, we're some of that seed that's come down through the generations. We've been born with the same life on the inside of us. As the Father had life in Himself, He gave to the Son to have life in Himself. And then the Son quickens with that same life whoever He will. When we got born again, that same life was deposited on the inside of us. In a way, you were already quickened. Your dead spirit went from death to life. And now Jesus is saying, well, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these. Not if we don't know His ways. Not if we don't know His ways, it's not going to happen. That's why He sent us a teacher. Jesus told the disciples, I mean, you reckon Jesus is a good teacher? By demonstration and by words, for three and a half years that He had those men, He told them in John 14, 15, or 16. We're not going there right now. In that long teaching, He says, look, I have many things to say unto you. I have many things. In other words, plain English, I have many things more I'd need to teach you. But you're not able to bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He is going to guide you into all truth. Well, why couldn't they bear it now? Same thing he told Nicodemus. Nicodemus wasn't asking really how to get saved. He was asking how you doing these miracles. These things that we see you do, we know no man can do them except they be of God. How are you doing this? And Jesus tells him the answer. He says, look, Nicodemus, you can't even see into the kingdom of God until you've been born again. You've got to be born again. Nicodemus, I could tell you. And he starts talking with him about, to us, you know, just simple things. And he says, look, you're having trouble understanding these earthly examples I'm trying to give you. How in the world would you understand if I tried to tell you about heavenly things? You've got to be born again. We've been through, and I'm not turning to all these passages now because we're summarizing. Can you tell what's going on? The Holy Ghost is gathering up a whole bunch of balls of revelation here and putting them in a mixer for you. Okay? We could go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where these things are not mentally discerned. How are they discerned? The things of God. They're spiritually discerned. You've got to have a nature that's born of God before you can really be educated regarding the things of God. That's going to include God's ways. That's going to include how do you open the blind eyes? Well, you really don't, but the Holy Spirit does. But how do you co-labor with the Holy Spirit to see these things done? All right? Well, this passage here in Hebrews, even though it's talking about an Old Testament situation, the context is he is exhorting New Testament believers not to fall by the same example of unbelief. So let's look at it here again, verse 10. He says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? God calls it an evil heart. It's like he called that a bad report. We call it a factual. We would give those guys good marks for being factual in their reporting to us. They went on a reconnaissance mission. They came back and they accurately reported what they saw. Well, there's giants in the land. There's walled cities. These are a warlike people. It eats up of the inhabitants of the land. And everything they said was true. The thing that was false was their conclusion. Based on all that we saw, we say, we be not able. And right there is where they erred in their hearts. Because God says, you don't know my ways. What has their size got to do with my promise? Did you hear that? What has the size of those giants got to do with my word? They also sized up themselves. See, they were comparing the obstacles, which can be formidable, very formidable, and they were stacking those obstacles up against their own size. We be like grasshoppers in their sight. Let me ask you this. What does your size have to do with His Word? What does your ability or lack of? Hey, with Gideon, God kept saying, you got too many men in this army. That's not normally a problem for armies. They like to have more men, not less. Nah, you got too many. Weed these out, and here's another way. Weed these out. And No. Because it's not based on your size, it's based on my Word. Based on my power. See, that's God's ways. You say, well, I've never seen a revival. I've heard about them, but I've never seen anything like that. What has that got to do with His Word? Tulsa is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. We've got to know His ways. So I don't want any evil heart of unbelief in me in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Are we still in that? Hallelujah. So we're still supposed to do this, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, he's really talking about them not going back under the law of Moses right here. That's the war they were fighting, but we're fighting a little different war. But let's come on down with it here. Verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? That phrase, had sinned. Is he talking about in this case? Now, in this instance, we're talking about what caused them to fall, what caused them not to be able to possess the land, their unbelief. So he says, them that sinned. I want to know how, is he talking about in this case, the sin of fornication? Was that their sin?
Nope.
Was it drunkenness?
Nope.
Was it parties and reveling? Although they... That's not what he's talking about. You know what he's calling sin here? Unbelief. Unbelief is sin. You don't hardly ever hear any messages. I don't know that I've ever heard hardly any messages. I mean, I heard a lot of things of sin, you know. But unbelief? That's what it is right here. With them that had sinned. I had to write out in the margin so I'd never forget it. The sin of not believing. Or the sin of unbelief. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. All right, now we got the trouble with all of this. These books are too big and our time is too short. That's the reason even tonight he's not having you turn to all these places. I want you to see where we're headed. One of the most familiar verses that you hear quoted all the time, but left in context, come on down to the near the end of chapter 4. Come down to verse 12. Verse 11. From verse 10. Here we go. Verse 9. Verse 8. Okay. But verse 7, look, he's still talking about today. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today. And now the Holy Ghost, is it still called today now? Today, after so long a time. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, and that should be Joshua, for if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remains, therefore, a rest. I like to say a promised land. That's what he's talking about. A promised land, a settled promised land that has been conquered. That's when it's rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now, God, I hope you can get this. I hope you can get this. Listen to me. Don't look down right now. Look up here at me. The reason they fell, they were thinking it was their work to conquer the land. Oh, we're not going to really conquer the land. He's given us the land. We've got to enter into his rest. But they're looking at it going, we got to do this. Well, and in a way, you do. I mean, who was it that went in there with the swords and with the had to go to battle? Who was it? It was them. But victory wasn't based on them. Victory was based on him. And what he had said. But that's hard to remember when you're right there and this guy's swinging a sword trying to slice your head off, you know, and you're fighting him. But see, but David understood it. He said, it is the Lord my God that teaches my fingers to war. By him, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. He understood it, see. We got to have that attitude. It's by him that the blind eyes open when we pray. It's by him that the lame walk. We got to not size these things up against ourselves. Got to enter into his rest. It's not our works, it's his rest. All, are we involved just like they were involved in the war? And the enemy's taking all of his shots at you like he took all of his shots at them, trying to keep them from possessing the land. You're going to get some anointed spit. I can see it coming here now. I'm up too close to you now. Watch out. I forgot my fan. That fan works good. Hallelujah. Mary Roop got me a little fan. I should have brought it. I'll bring it next time. That thing's nice. Anyway. Hallelujah. Look at this. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now look, notice how this is worded. Let us labor. Uh-oh, that doesn't sound like rest, does it? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. I've looked that word up. That word labor is intensive. That's intensive. I mean, you're in maximum workout in the gym right there. You're intensively trying to labor hard. To do what? Rest. What that means is, no matter the battle, I'll tell you who it's like, who it reminds me of. I saw the picture right there. I was going, how do I illustrate that? Easy. Easy. You remember the guy who was in the house and the storms beat upon the house? And it beat upon the house and the battle is raging and it's going to tear your house down. But the guy who does Jesus' sayings, the storm is beating on the house. But I like what Dave says. No, as long as you're doing his sayings, you're in there. You got a fire going in the fireplace. Your feet's propped up. You're reading the Bible. Enjoying the Word. You know, probably look at, you know, reading something on the latest message or something that's come off across the internet from Dave or through the prayer center, you know. What's happening there? You are in rest. Even while the enemy is outside trying to tear your house down, you're in the eye of the hurricane. You're in the eye of the storm. See where you are. You got to labor to enter into that rest. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. Is that good stuff or what?
Hallelujah.
But I've got to tell you, when all hell's breaking loose against your house, it sure feels like it's your battle, doesn't it? I mean, that's the labor. That's the hard part, staying in that place of rest while all that's going on. And I started, this is really the verse where I was going to have us jump to, and I couldn't get past all. See, I told you a while ago, I said, it's not based on their size. It's based on His Word. It's not even based on our size or all our ability. It's based on His Word. All of this is leading up to that familiar verse that you've heard quoted your whole life. Verse 12. For the Word of God. How can we rest? For the Word of God. How can I just stay at peace no matter what the enemy's throwing at me? For the Word of God. It's quick. It's alive. It's a living... Hold it up. It's a living thing. This is... I mean, it's not really on the printed page, but God's Word is alive. It is eternally pregnant with its own promises. It has the power within itself to bring every promise to come to pass. It is just as alive now as when it was spoken all those centuries ago. God's Word is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. How do I demonstrate that, Lord? All right, God's Word. I have given you the land. Is that His Word for them? They go across, they take a look, they come back. We're not able to take the land. We're scared. No. Older I get, the better that works. Cole loves it. You know, we're not able to take the land. The Word of God now has just discerned your thoughts and your heart. You're erring in your heart. How can we tell that? Because you're not agreeing with God's Word. See, that's what it really means. That's what it really means. I'm sick. What makes you think you're sick? Oh, you just, these pains and these symptoms and this hurting and, ow! Well, we understand you have symptoms. Been there so many times. Y'all seen me. I've been here. I was so bad a couple of years ago, I had to preach this service sitting in a chair. Okay? One. I just did one. But still yet, hey, better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. It's better to preach in a chair than not preach at all. Mm-hmm. You didn't tell me I could stay home. You know? But anyway, you see how it exposes your heart, the Word of God? Yes. Are you trusting in it? Are you resting in it? Are you not? One way you can tell real quick is about 1 inch below your nose, you know. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hallelujah. Better not meddle right there. Okay, let's go on. Thank you. Moving right along. Let's go back. All right. Yes, sir. Practical. I heard him say practical. Now listen. We're not trying to make something super spiritual. We are a people who is going to possess the promise that He's given to us. Here at this church and all of those that are around the world that are just as much a part of this church as anyone here tonight. We have heard the Holy Spirit. We've heard Him today. We've heard Him in our lifetime. And it grabbed our heart. You're part of this. You know you're part of this or you wouldn't be here. You've got a part to play. All right? Like we've been using the analogy now for weeks. The body of Christ is not one member. The body of Christ is many members. But each of us are members in particular. Just like I have many parts to my body, I'm so glad both of my elbows are working. I'm so glad my thumbs are working. I'm glad everything's working. I need everything working. In this revival, God has many parts. It is Christ ministering to Tulsa. You may be a thumb, you may be an elbow. Dave's obviously a mouth. After he dies, it'll take you 2 days to kill his mouth with a stick, you know. It'll still be going, you know, 2 days after the funeral. Quiet, you're stunning. But we've all got our part to play is the thing, see. Well, within Tulsa's In Revival, within that are many, many promises. I used Lewis last week, I'll use him again. One of the parts, somebody's got to hand over the money. Cough it up, buddy. Get it. Well, in order for him to do that, he's got to hear his own today. He's got to hear the Holy Ghost today, and tomorrow it's going to be today, and the day after that it's going to be today, and the day after that it's going to be today. And the enemy's going to come, "Rawr! I'm big. You can't do this." Uh-huh. And right there he's faced. He's going to either err in his heart, or he's going to enter into God's rest and go, "Devil, I'm glad you reminded me. Thank you for reminding me. I'm not going to do this. My God is going to do this through me." See, that's the rest right there. "I want you to make a billion." You know, if God come to me and said that at age 60, I said, "God, you kidding? Every time I've messed with the stock market, are you kidding? Have you seen my track record?" He says, "Good, we're not talking about your track record." But in order to operate in that, I got to hear His voice today. Whatever it is, you got a part. Fred's got a, Margo's got a part. You still got a part. Hallelujah. We all got our part to play. We got our part to play. Well, we all got to learn the same thing and hear His voice. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to look impossible. You might as well know that. You go, "Oh, there be giants in the land." God goes, "You're surprised." But God, there's problems there. And plus that, He seems to come right in the area where you've always been a failure. You know, Abraham was really very successful in almost every realm of life except one thing. The ability to produce children. Where does God call him? "I want you to have a child." But my whole life, my whole history. I mean, even when Sarah and I were first married and young and beautiful, God, we tried. But we've never had a child. My whole history tells me I can't do this. God says, "I'm glad you remember that. You remember when you tried to help me?" Ishmael, you know, you remember that? What does Dr. Phil say? "How's that working for you?" That didn't turn out so good, did it? I don't need your help. I need your faith. I need your faith is what he's talking about. See, knowing God's ways. Now, see, we have this crazy service on Sunday nights, and now Tuesday nights, and starting Thursday nights, where we do this crazy thing. Calling in the lost. And I'm telling you, the whole world and even the church world thinks we're absolutely nuts. Because we're going to, part of what we do for about 45 minutes, we're going to go through those confessions that God has given us, a lot of promises within the promise, things that we know He said. And for 45 minutes, we're going to do our best to see what He has said and say what He has said. And to the world, even the church world, they're going, "That's foolish." No, they are erring in their heart. They do not know His ways. God is determined that His dominion on earth come through man. In this case, the last man, Jesus Christ, the second man, the last Adam. And if you be Christ, you're part of His seed. We are His body on the earth. Amen? What He's trying to get us to do, though, is not be so much directed by each of our individual minds, but be directed by His mind. Find out what it is He called you to do, and get about doing that the way He tells you to do it. See, boy, it'd be nice if there was a church somewhere where a person could be trained how to develop the ability to hear the mind of Christ. Someone ought to start a church where they, you know, you could be trained. And if there was some way that you could hear that Holy Ghost and on purpose, just because you wanted to, you could do some things that would cause you to be sensitive to the, "Oh, that's this church." That's this church. If there's anybody that's been trained how to do it. But I'm telling you right now, there's a big difference between knowing how to do it and doing it. You know? Am I preaching good yet? yes, sir. Yes, sir. When he tells me to close it, I got to close it. All right. Now listen. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Let me say it that way. Kumashi. Well, that's interesting. He says, you don't even know what fun is. You don't even know. He said, the days that are ahead of you, they are the excitement, the joy of living. Lord, what are you going to do today? Lord, I'm so excited, Lord. It's another day today, Lord. I get to hear your voice. What are you wanting to do today, Lord? Ah, the life of Jesus made manifest in my mortal flesh. What is it today now, Lord? Lord, you're gonna open the blind eyes today, Lord? What? Yes. Today we're going to transfer $4.7 billion. Okay, Lord, that sounds like good. That's good, Lord. We'll do that. I heard him say it. You don't even know what fun is yet. You talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. I got to go through this again. He's reminding me of I heard LaRue say this, and I don't know how I'd read through this so many times. Y'all remember when John the Baptist was in prison? And he sent, he got discouraged, and he sent those guys to go ask Jesus, are you the one? Or do we look for another? Now, those guys came, the way LaRue says it, on a random hour, on a random day. They came asking, John has sent us. He wants to know, are you the one? Or do we look for another? Now, they just came and spent, let's say they got there at 10 in the morning. I don't know when they got there, maybe 11, 12, I don't know. They were there for part of the day, on a random day, just whenever John sent them, and then they go back. And what does Jesus say? Go back and tell John what you have seen. The blind see, I forget it exactly, but along the lines of the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. You go tell him that. What was life like in the daily life of Jesus? You could come on a random day. Yes, I'll have a meeting with you in just a few minutes. Sit right there for a few minutes. We got 7 more blind people here. I'll be with you in just a minute. And you watch as the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. Okay, we finished. Now, what was it you wanted to ask me about? Well, John wants to know. We've been sitting here watching, but John wants to know. I'm thinking at this point they probably could tell John a few things anyway, We've been sitting here watching. He says, well, just go back and tell him what you saw. On a random hour. On a random day. Just a day in the life of Jesus. What do you think life is going to be like in the midst of that revival? What do you think when you find your part? The thing that you were created for, the thing that you were born for, the thing that everything in you is been nurtured by the Holy Ghost for this moment in history. When you find your part and your place and you're walking with Him, we don't even know what fun is yet. We don't even know what fun is. What kind of life is that? Woo! Say it again. Woo! That's the title of tonight's tape. Woo! No. We'll call it something else. How do you do that on a tape, though? They'd be going, woo? Woo? What is woo? Hallelujah. Oh, boy. But we're a people that's been for years being trained in His ways is the point. Now, the part He said for me practical a while ago, practical. Then He said that about fun to help us. Listen, we are going to become expert. Do you hear me? Expert at seeing what the Father's doing and saying according to the mind of Christ. How many was not here Wednesday night? No condemnation. Raise your hand where I can see you. Get that message. It's already, can you download it through the internet or anything? Somebody will get it to you. We'll mail it to you or something. Listen, because I've been thinking about that my own testimony there, where I told again about that $4,000 deal. Yeah. See, you got to remember, I didn't initiate that. That wasn't Gary's idea. In those days especially, I was over at the Ugly Building, and I was spending a lot of time in prayer, and I was just going through my confessions, just like I've taught you to do. I don't need to reteach it. And the Holy Ghost said, I didn't initiate that. The Holy Ghost initiated that. That's what we're after. I don't want one of those every 10 years. See, He initiated that. That instruction came from the mind of Christ. Today, I heard His voice. He said, increase that by $4,000 a month. I didn't even know why, and He didn't tell me why. He might would have told me if I'd asked Him. I didn't even think. I said, okay. I mean, I'd be honest with you. I thought maybe it was for me. I mean, I'm just telling you how it is. I don't know why He told. I was going, glory to God. Hallelujah. I didn't know why. He didn't tell me why. How do I know? Hallelujah. Call Sue. Hallelujah. But then you heard, you'll hear that testimony Wednesday night. But no, it was to, and I've thought about it for all these years. See, we've got to know God's ways. Why did He need me to say that? See, that's the thing. Why did He need Jesus to say what He said? Why did He need Abraham to say, I am the Father? See, we keep thinking, no, God just does it. No, you don't know His ways. He wants to have that dominion, all right, but it's God's kingdom through man. That's the way He set it up. That's the way it's going to be. Now it's coming through a man, the Lord Jesus, and all of His parts, of which we is. Bad English, but makes good sense. Of which we is. We are it. You got that? I want some of those. I want to hear His voice today. Every day. Whatever He says. But we're going to be just foolish enough. Just foolish enough. Whatever He says, see, we're going to see that. Whatever He says, say, we're going to say it. And I can almost feel the I can almost hear the footsteps of the Holy Ghost, if there was such a thing. He's going, you mean there's going to be a people that once more knows God's ways? That understands that the dominion God gives is through them, that He has assigned me to enforce God's kingdom through man? And they're going to hear from the mind of Christ? And they're going to speak in the name of Jesus? And I'm going to get to do the works of the Father again? We're going to find out what fun is. To be continued. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Woo! Woo! Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Hallelujah. Praise God forever.